Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
I said we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now, for God's sake.
I swear to God, I will go over you.
You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. So since we last spoke, some things have happened. Michael Flynn, the national security advisor, has resigned. He done packed up his toys and went home. And that was just days ago. That was like Monday night. Days are all running together. Days don't even have meaning anymore.
There is no time. It is
it's
just a continuum.
Turned on its head. But I think it was Monday night, and that occurred after it was revealed unto us all that he had misled Veep, Mike Pence, and other, you know, high ranking muckety mucks there at the White House. So that occurred, and then, like a beautiful lotus blossom, all the things started to open and expand and show us and reveal themselves. And by lotus blossom, I mean triggered the dominoes to begin falling into the insane treasonous shit show that we are in now.
Thank you.
I think that is
a very good description right now. I think even Donald Trump might like that description, perhaps, because it is, if nothing else, accurate.
Okay, so let's review. So Flynn's departure triggered a bunch of shit. However, his departure was in the middle of already a lot of shit.
Right. This has been a White House in complete chaos almost since day one.
From the jump.
Yeah. If you remember, really, from last week's show, the complete and utter disaster that was the executive order.
That was only last week.
Yes. And now it's like, well, when did that happen? I don't even remember those airport protests. So all of that was going on. And you've had massive fights over the cabinet people that he's put into place, who Jeff Sessions and DeVos on education and all that sort of stuff.
I really am enjoying the resurgence and sudden new popularity of Ralph Wiggum right now with the, I'm education secretary.
Yeah, that's
so good.
It's really fantastic.
All the Ralph Wiggumisms are good.
And it is horribly accurate, I'm afraid. And that's what's scary.
And what's funny about it is I, of course, had no hand in resurrecting his popularity. But I, for some reason that day, I kept thinking of the episode where he goes, when I grow up, I want to be principal or caterpillar.
You do a very good Ralph Wiggum, by the way.
I have a lot of practice.
Yeah, I have to say, that is outstanding.
I'm good for something. Yes. Nonetheless, so also in that was a lot with Kellyanne Conway,
mm-hmm.
and who is, I think, beginning to crack.
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely. Because she doesn't seem to be in the loop anymore either. She came out and said that Flynn had the full confidence of the president.
Wrong.
And then an hour later,
nope.
Moink.
he was out.
Flynn resigns. It's like, oh, Kellyanne.
Yeah.
You didn't know what was happening, did you? She looks beleaguered, whatever the word is. She looks that.
She looks a little rough right now.
Yeah.
She looks like she hasn't slept in weeks, which she probably has
not. Right. I would guess most of, like, Spicer, all of these people have not slept in weeks. And, because they're constantly on defense right now. And they have to be because there's so much crazy stuff going on. The Flynn development opened 1,000 doors, and that's...
I don't know if opened as much as blew them open.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think open is too gentle a word. You're right, exactly. Because there's questions about the timing of all this, he spoke to a Russian diplomat after the election, but before the inauguration, basically saying that the sanctions against Russia were not anything to worry about because they would be smoothed out once Trump was in office. That doesn't sound very legal to do as a civilian, which he was at the time.
Right.
But the bigger question then becomes, who knew what? Who did he, was he instructed to? You've got GOP senators, including Lindsey Graham, openly asking or openly stating, it doesn't sound to me like General Flynn would do that just on his own. So that raises questions as to who knew, who instructed him to do that. Plus, the New York Times, right on the heels of the Flynn news, which the Washington Post broke, the New York Times reported on contact between Trump campaign officials and Russian operatives, Russian intelligence people, throughout the election, which is a huge deal again. Now, we don't know what happened exactly, what was said. Was there collusion? But the point is that it is just like this bomb that went off and opened up all of these
questions.
So much
stuff. Yeah,
there's so many questions to be answered right now. And the effect of that is that it's completely hamstringing the White House. I mean, they can't, they cannot blow this off. And Trump today came out during a press conference with Benjamin Netanyahu and said, well, the fake media is being very unfair to General Flynn and blah, blah, blah. You know what? You can't do that anymore.
You can't do it anymore.
Because the fake media is the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, or I'm sorry, the New York Times and the Washington Post, which just blew this whole damn thing open.
Right, which just walked in and turned the lights on of this complete shit show of cockroaches.
Yeah, and this stuff is not light.
It's not light.
Oops.
It's not.
This is colluding with Russia. You know, this is something that everybody should be concerned about.
I've seen Red Dawn. I know how this goes.
Exactly. the Ruskies are nuts, man. The damn Reds are up in our house all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Not on my watch.
No, you're right. This is there's been a lot of things that could-ish die down. I mean, right before this happened, kind of the biggest story was that Kellyanne Conway had endorsed Ivanka Trump's line at Nordstrom and told everybody, go buy it. I'll do a free ad. And she does this with this presidential seal right behind her, which is complete lunacy to do that. Totally unethical. And there's, you know, the house ethics is, they're all up on her. And a lot of people are talking about this. And I think some people are like, oh, this is the moment. Let's get her. Let's get her out of there. Let's get rid of her. And then this happens.
Right.
And like her Ivanka thing, that could just be one of those things that gets, you know, tied up and mm-hmm. blows off eventually. But no, not this.
Yeah, no, not that this isn't. This doesn't go away. And you now have high-ranking Republicans in Congress finally actually saying, yeah, okay, we got to look into this. Because they can't run from this. This is too big to run from. And that spells a lot of trouble for Donald Trump and for this administration. Now, I wish I could credit this properly. I don't remember where I read this, but just today, this was an excellent description of saying what Trump needs to do right now is dump water on this situation and clarify exactly what has happened and let, you know, really be as transparent as possible so that people can make sense of it. But the person argued the problem is that Donald Trump, we don't know that he has water to pour on this because this may be as convoluted and bad as it actually sounds. And so, I mean, you know, technically speaking, Donald Trump releases his tax return so we can get the truth behind all of that. And then the administration lays out a very good explanation of what did and didn't happen regarding contact with Russian intelligence people over the course of the campaign and after the election. I don't think that's going to happen. All we're seeing right now is pure defiance and an unwillingness to act like this is any kind of a big deal. And in fact, what they keep doing, and you see some congressional Republicans doing this too, is that they're spinning it to, oh, the problem is not the information. The problem is that we have these leakers who are releasing all of this bad information.
No, you're having security meetings in the fucking dining room of Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, there's that.
That's not a leak if you do it in a bullhorn, fucker,
yes.
At all.
With the camera phone or the
taking selfies with bridesmaids.
Right.
What in the actual fuck is happening?
I like the picture of the guy that carries the nuclear football posing with some dude.
Posing.
I'm like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
That's the thing that puts off.
What's happening right now?
That's what sets off the big thingies that go bad and
go boom.
And yeah, right.
That make things go boom.
Right. All the other just cockroaches left. Nothing more. So
I have decided. A former colleague of ours posted something the other day that initially, like, I read half the headline and started to laugh, and then I looked down underneath the photo and realized I wasn't reading an Onion article, that it was real. And I just, my comment in all caps was, not Onion, because it sounded like, and then I realized I could reply, not Onion, to almost everything on social media right now, and it would not be out of place.
Yeah, no, we are past satirizing what's happening right now, and
definitely
it's bizarre, and nobody, and this hasn't, remember, we are barely a month in, and this is just no presidency has ever been this chaotic this fast. And I mean, this again, this is not a minor The Russia stuff is not. Kellyanne Conway, you know, promoting Ivanka's shoes is ridiculous, and she should be.
She should be reprimanded.
But it ain't. We talked to Russia. I mean, look, it is not. Russia worked to cause problems for Hillary Clinton because they favored Donald Trump becoming president. That is not up for debate anymore. So we know that, and now we're getting reports that the campaign was routinely in touch with Russian. It's like, come on. I mean, there is so much smoke here that for it to not be a fire makes no sense. So, look, a lot more information has to come out, and I'm not ready to say, yes, absolutely, sure, their treasonous behavior has occurred, but Flynn did step down. I mean, so that there was obviously he didn't just step down because the optics were bad.
And if you look at right, which a lot of times that's when you see people at high levels of government and business resigning of just optics of like someone's going to have to take the fall for this, et cetera. But it's especially fascinating, his move in context with Yates.
Right. Right. I forgot about it. Yeah. I mean, she talk about a hero. I mean, she.
Right.
She came to them a month ago
and said, hey, shit is fucked.
Yeah.
And got fired.
Right. And got fired. I mean, it's insane. That is insane. And again, that's where you run into big that. And I feel like this shows the level of incompetence of the people that are presently running the government. And I tweeted something yesterday or the day before about, boy, it's working out real great to have an outsider with no government experience. Because it's like, well, I mean, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They could.
At all.
Even if you want to do things that are dodgy, you go about them in a way where you're at least covering your tracks a little bit. But now, I mean, look at all of the doors that have been blown open by the Flynn stuff show
absolute brazenness. No,
yeah, no regard.
No regard for process. And say you are coming to something from a different industry, you then should have the fucking sense to surround yourself with people who know what the fuck they're doing, not a bunch of Nazis.
Right.
And not a bunch of fucking white supremacy. Like, you don't do that.
Right.
You don't do cronies. You surround yourself with, like, who can I get that will help fill in knowledge gaps for me and know what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
But I think we're dealing with such a high level narcissist here that I don't think he is capable of saying, okay, what is it? What do I not know that I don't know?
Yeah.
I don't think he has it in him.
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think there's an ounce. We haven't seen anything that demonstrates a lick of curiosity or a lick of willingness to say, I'm sorry, how does this work? Or I don't quite understand this.
God forbid that man says, I don't know, I'll find out.
Right, which, again, which would be, these are perfectly reasonable questions to ask. Nobody would fault Donald Trump for saying, you know what, I didn't do this first executive order right because I didn't know what I was doing, and now we're going to learn how to do it right.
Right. No, people, my bad.
Yeah, people would actually stand back and say, you know what, I still hate your executive order and what you want to do with it, but good for you. That's the kind of thing we need to see from anybody who's in charge, whether it's your boss at work or the president, obviously, of the United States. So it's
one interesting thing that's happening that I'm noticing, people are starting to mention reading the comments a bit more, whereas I think even 6 months ago, the hard line in the sand was don't read the comments for your own good. Don't do it. And I think that's shifting because there's a lot of interesting conversations happening in comment sections and certainly online. Here in a political one, if it's an interpersonal relationship, whatever, the classic thing is to accuse the person you're victimizing of the exact thing you are doing. Mm-hmm. And so they went through this one comment. It's on the New York Times story about this Russian involvement. And it's kind of going through point by point of things at different points Trump accused Clinton of doing that are all things he is clearly doing now.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. It's fascinating. Like line by line, like she's corrupt in this way. In fact, we now see he is. She's doing this. It's all about cronies and nepotism, which in fact he has done. He's installed his children. Line by line, and even takes on some of his cabinet. And it is a fascinating comparison.
And that's just happening. The level of hypocrisy now is truly astonishing. There's a video clip that keeps going around of Paul Ryan during the campaign saying,
that guy saying how
because of security issues, you know, Hillary Clinton can't possibly be trusted.
Really?
And it's like, well, dude. And then when he's asked about whether there should be an investigation about what just happened, he's like, I don't know. We need need some more information before we can make that decision. It's like, come on, man. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it just shows a complete lack of concern for the actual country.
Absolute disregard.
I thought that it was absolutely appropriate for Hillary Clinton's email server situation to be investigated.
Absolutely.
And I thought
that
decision to have a private email server was ridiculous. And I thought they were dodgy as hell about it. And I hated every bit of that. And it was investigated. And we knew what we knew. And it was still not appropriate that they did it. But it did not appear to cause any significant security breaches or damage, etc. So there you have it. Well, this deserves at least that much. Because,
a server
that was not hacked by the Russians versus a dude who apparently was hacked by, by the Russians.
Clearly.
So,
although hacked isn't the word, if you tweet the motherfucker your password, it's not hacked.
Yeah. Oh,
hand it to him in a love note.
Yeah. So it's just, it's a bad place right now. It's very bad because, speaking of Paul Ryan, I feel like he's off in the corner just kind of gently sobbing, saying, I just wanted to take health care away from poor people. That's
I just
all.
Wanted poor people to suffer.
I just wanted to cut taxes for big businesses, and now I can't. Because, I think they were all like, woohoo, we got control.
Yeah.
Here we go. And now they're like, oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Look at that dumpster fire over there. What do we do about that? And I think that's where you're starting to see with a few senators looking at this Russian stuff and saying,
we got to
look into this. GOP senators, I should say.
Right.
You're starting to see some cracks. And I think it comes down to a cost-benefit analysis for these politicians, which is going to be, I want to get my stuff done, and I'll be on his side right up into the point where it's more...
Where it's going to send me to prison.
Right, where it's bad, where it's hurting me. Again, the thing that's so disgusting about this is none of these folks give a crap about the country.
No.
I mean, this is pure nihilism. I mean, they just... it's all about, like I said, as soon as he becomes too toxic, they're going to be like, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, I cannot wait to see what the next week brings because it's fascinating. And I think now has been it's been interesting in the last week to compare news sites, to look at, say, New York Times and Tribune and pick a national TV station, ABC, NBC, CBS, whatever, a Fox News, like put all those together over the same story. And it's really interesting. Although it was most interesting when it was like Kellyanne stuff before the Flynn stuff happened. The way, like, Fox News was really just like, Kellyanne appears on this show this morning.
Yeah.
Everyone else was
neat.
Like, she's lying. She's blah, blah, blah. She's endorsing. Blah. Like, people were, it was very interesting, that comparison. But with Flynn and with now that all of this is coming out about White House aides having contact with Russian officials. If I'm saying that,
I know,
and it's
I feel like
real.
Yeah.
I feel like we're making shit up.
It feels very retro too.
Right. We're going to have this like weird 1985 fake podcast.
Yeah.
It feels fake. It feels like fake news, but it's real.
We're going to start recording on a cassette recorder that we just, one of those old ones, like a Radio Shack one where you just talk. There's no the microphone's
you
built
just
in.
You just talk at it.
Yeah. You talk at it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You do.
It's going to be cool.
But nonetheless, I think Flynn and White House aides, potentially interacting with Russian officials, that has kind of forced the hand. Like, even Fox News has had to say, like, all right, we can't skip this.
Yeah, although they're still really trying to skip
They're trying very hard.
And then you have, like, Sean Hannity, like, the press is so hard, oh my God.
That
guy,
Sean Hannity.
Talk about,
I got to arm wrestle that guy or something.
It's like a sentient meat sack, but he's going down. He's going down with the ship when this happens, man, because he is all in. That dude
He is all in.
He just has absolutely no regard for anything.
He is suckling the teat of the Trump administration.
Yeah, yeah.
And refuses to wean.
And you see, I mean, some, like Joe Scarborough, who's, a conservative dude. He's
a little bit.
Yeah, but he's been real critical of this stuff. And they just, I just read today that they booted, they're not going to have Kellyanne Conway back on their program.
I have been thinking that from the start. Why do we keep having this woman on programs?
I don't know.
You couldn't pay me enough to interview her about that.
Or anything.
I would consider interviewing her about some things, but nothing that she would probably want to talk about.
Yeah. Like why are you so awful?
Like, does it hurt to be that terrible?
Yes.
How do you sleep at night?
What currently occupies the space where your soul once resided?
What are you thinking about when you're speaking?
Yeah.
Actually, I would love to know, how do you prepare for an interview? I would love to ask her that.
She just stands in front of the mirror going, no, 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 no.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Noe, 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 no, no.
I don't know. I would love to ask her that. I mean, I think it will be interesting what her final, like what the nail in her coffin is, because I think that will decide how much she talks later.
Yeah.
I would love it to be like monumental, free fall, crazy implosion, because then she'll talk later.
Mm-hmm.
She'll have a tell-all. But if she leaves on, like, I'm going to do radio air quotes, good terms,
right,
she'll want to save face and preserve other people's reputations.
Well, and I think the real danger for the Trump administration, as people start to peel off or be peeled off in the case of Flynn.
A little both.
Is that they are going to start talking.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing the... what we're seeing is the heavily filtered crazy.
Right. Right. This is the PR version,
right,
guys.
I don't even want to know what the non-crazy or the full-on, the full crazy version is.
Do you remember that episode of Mad Men? I think it was maybe the first season in which young Peggy Olson goes into the bathroom to cry. And it was basically like, this is the crying room.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
okay.
Right.
I envision it like that. Like, there's just a room people go. They're like, I can't even do this.
There's the wall where you can bang your head in relative private.
It probably has like lots of makeup on it.
Yeah.
Because lots of people wearing makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Very
no, I don't mean just women. I mean, like,
no,
everybody's on broadcast.
Spicy.
And everybody. Oh, man.
Smudgy.
Shout out to Melissa McCarthy for the funny. Oh, my God. That was so funny when she got the dolls out playing Sean Spicer. And she was like, Spicy's going to explain it to you.
Yeah.
And gets the dolls out, the Barbie. And what is, the line was saying like, and we know she's okay because she's blonde.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And this one's Moana. And it's funny because... We know deep down there's truth there.
Yes, exactly. That's what makes it so funny. Somebody tweeted the other day, I think it was Ezra, it might have been Ezra Klein, or somebody in the media tweeted, I can no longer watch Sean Spicer without thinking about Melissa McCarthy. He's like, I can't do it. That's all I see.
I loved it. I thought it was so funny and perfect.
But
did you see how Alec Baldwin got put on a photo of Alec Baldwin dressed as Trump was used on a news story?
Yes, I did see that. Overseas. Yeah, it was overseas somewhere. I thought that was fantastic.
Whoops.
Sorry.
I love that. You know that pissed him off.
Oh, God.
Although, if I were him, I would be flattered by that.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin is better looking than Donald Trump.
By a lot, yeah. But I don't think he was flattered by it. My guess.
No.
I think he's mad. Yeah, he can't seem to... Oh, the Justin Trudeau thing was the other one.
Oh, yeah.
That I thought was... I was like, he just has to be bothered by how good-looking this guy is.
Well, you know, there was an interesting dominance thing that was happening with handshakes, right?
Yeah.
Because he had the weird handshake, right? Like the very, very...
the pull.
Yeah, the pull thing. But then he had, like, with Trudeau... It was like Trudeau put his, like, flipped it. I need a video to
Well,
do
he
this.
Put
like,
his hand on his shoulder first.
Yeah.
So
and
I think
then flipped
kind of,
his wrist mm-hmm. over to put his hand on top of him, like,
yeah.
Owned.
Yeah. It was pretty sweet, I thought. Go Canada.
My dad has a thing about handshakes like that. Like, it's a dominance thing to my dad, I think.
Really?
Like, he'll do that, and he'll particularly, like, when I was in high school, he'd always, like, some little boy come to the door. He would try to give him this real macho handshake before I could go out with him or whatever, you know. And he would almost put your palms together to shake someone's hand, he would almost like put a couple of like his peace fingers on the kid's wrist.
Wow.
And he'll do that in job interviews to flip his own hand on top just to exert some dominance.
Pretty cool. I got to work on my handshake, man.
Up your handshake game.
Yeah, I mean, I just high five.
I fist bump.
Yeah, what's up,
it's
dude?
Cleaner that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Less germs. It's flu season.
Yeah, right. So hey, no offense, but boop.
Yeah.
And I make that sound when I do it too, because that's cool.
Because that's also super manly.
Boop, boop. What's up? What's up, bro?
Right. But yeah, I rather enjoyed watching Trudeau totally like. I don't know. I'm trying, like, kind of pee on his fire hydrant a little bit. I'm trying to think, what is an act of dominance? I don't want to say, like, I don't want to get into like dogs humping sort of
right. Yeah, no,
sort of anyway, metaphors. But.
Please don't.
Please, if you could not do that.
But no, I think that there was a whole, I saw like a whole video montage of handshakes, which again, you know.
Of Trump and handshakes in particular?
Yeah, Trump shaking hands with various different people. And it's always this sort of really weird. But, the, you know, here we are with the handshake. Of course, people got what they, the, what was it with Obama? It was the terrorist fist bump that they were going off on early in his.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was some kind of fist bump happening and they thought it was a terrorist, a Muslim thing.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Of course.
But then the poor Japanese prime minister with the like 40-minute long fucking handshake that
and
they
then,
did.
And then he like looks over to his, you know, his guy that was with him or whatever. And is like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. He looks at like his, you know, bag man kind of dude. Right.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And he's just like, gives him a look like, holy shit, get the Purell.
Was that as long as I thought it was? As long as it felt like.
Was that weird? That was weird, right?
Right, yeah.
The look on his face was so good. Just kind of like, Jesus, get me out of here.
Somebody tweeted something like, he is all of us right now.
There was a picture I saw tweeted of that very sad look at Trump and Melania Trump on Election Day. And they're sitting at a table with a, like a long row of flowers in front of them.
Uh-huh,
and they're both looking down and their body language says, I despise you.
Yeah.
And someone like framed it in a little heart and just said, Happy Valentine's Day, sweethearts.
Oh, God.
It was so perfect and awful.
Ugh.
I saw some New York Times journalists last night tweeting things about like, thank you, POTUS, for ruining Valentine's Day for every journalist in the nation.
Yeah, seriously.
Because they were talking about like canceled dinner reservations, and especially like New York Times reporters you know, people on you know, national political beats who were like, yeah, that reservation, we're not going to make it.
And shout out to journalists, by the way, for...
As ever.
I mean, that Flynn is not resigned without the Washington Post and the New York Times doing their thing. And I mean, they are doing their thing right now.
Yeah.
And it's impressive. And it is good journalism. And it is to be feared. And I think it is feared by Trump and co. Because.
I think it's starting to be.
Yeah. And it's just. But you know, his response to that whole thing was interesting, too. I wanted to mention that when we were talking about the Flynn stuff before. Was he said he attacked. Fake news. He attacked CNN. He attacked the failing New York Times. He attacked the intelligence community, in quotes again, intelligence in quotes, which is making me bonkers. And he attacked the leaks. At no point in his flailing tweet storm from this morning did he deny anything. There were no denials. And I have to wonder if perhaps, it again, don't know, has to be investigated, but you wonder if somebody hasn't pointed out to him that if you deny this now and it gets proven later to be true, you're going to be
you're
in even
fucked.
Deeper shit than you're in right now. Because
he's in deep shit now. Like, let's be clear.
Yeah, he absolutely
we do not
is.
Know all the facts, but there's no way he's not in deep shit.
Yeah, no, this is a bad. I mean, this is bad. Look, and this is bad. Even if this winds up becoming not as big a deal as many think it is.
It's, which it could.
Right.
It very well could.
But it is hamstringing his administration at a time when it needs to get its feet on the ground.
Right.
And I'll also point out, frankly, this is, you know, I am a top-tier anti-Trump person, but this is not good for the country right now. I mean, it's not good to have the executive branch and in turn really kind of Congress, tangentially anyway, all bogged down like this. I mean, this is a mess. And it's going to continue. This is a mess that is not going anywhere quickly. And the only way it will go anywhere quickly is if either A, they clear the air and they start releasing some information that actually allows some facts to come out, or they just all go away.
I mean, really, it's hard to. I'm sure you've heard me typing a little. I've been typing in the background a little bit because there's so much right now. There's so much to keep straight, and there's so much to. There's so much that's actual news that seems like it cannot be possible. And so there's that I've caught myself going, I've got to see that on at least eight other sites.
Right.
I got to find that. I can't, I, I'm, I'm double, quadruple, double secret probation fact checking everything because I can, because it's so unbelievable right now.
It is. Yeah. And
did you see this thing about the UK, the proposed UK espionage law?
No.
A proposal. Okay. So this is really interesting because it is, it's proposed an espionage act that would treat journalists and editors as foreign spies, essentially, so that even being in possession of information that the government could declare potentially dangerous, it doesn't have to prove it. It just has to say it could be, which could be anything.
Sure.
Because like this administration would say it's unflattering and therefore it's dangerous. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But even having that could be punishable.
Yikes.
By up to 14 to 16 years in prison.
Whoa. That's an, really in the UK. I'm always thought more highly of them than that.
I know.
Although is that one of the, I wonder if that's one of those sort of loopy bills that doesn't actually stand a chance, or is that
probably
getting seriously considered? Because yikes. Yeah, that's harsh. However, I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that on the horizon.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I figured.
And so the chatter around it is like this is to stem like Snowden type leaks.
Right.
It's to avoid that. But that word leak is a very loaded one here right now.
Yeah.
Because of all this, because of everything that's happening with around all this Russian stuff. So immediately I saw that. And I mean, I have a couple of colleagues and friends that are in the UK working as journalists. And immediately I was like, what the fuck is this? And they're all like, we're all sitting in newsrooms trying to figure it out, too.
Yeesh.
Like, it's essentially one of those weird kind of things that and it's proposed. It's not happening yet, but it's one of the it's and it's proposed by this super conservative sweep. But it's this idea of like, I think everybody's kind of treating it like, OK, we need to learn this. We need to know. But also like it seems like it's one of going to be those things like a pick and choose kind of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone's going to just be inconvenient one day and get punished for it. But otherwise, because there's a lot to it, like the idea that you could be in possession of government documents and somehow be at fault and punished is fucked up.
Oh yeah, completely.
That you and your editor can't sit there and go through something and make a decision about it. Even if you don't publish it, like this specifically outlines, you don't have to publish it. You just have to review it. You have to be in possession of it.
Wow.
Which is really horrifying. Really, really horrifying. And I need to do a little bit more research on this as it's coming together. But part of me is like, okay, it's proposed, not happening. So I'm going to let it sit for a minute because I don't get a vote in the UK. So, okay, I got bigger things to worry about. More things are on fire here. But immediately, like, my stomach just dropped when I saw it, because I was like, I guarantee you there's going to be something like that. You don't go around calling the New York Times fake news without then trying to put some sort of restriction on journalism.
Right. And criticizing leaks also, which they're doing. They're trying to spin the story into it's not what we did with the Russians. It's the fact that everybody's finding out about it,
right,
which is absurd. But that cuts to the heart of journalism. I mean, if they were to do something like that or even propose something like that, I mean, journalism's role as a watchdog is, I mean, that's, just forget it. That's going directly at the heart of it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It no longer is the fourth of
right.
the state.
No, then what are we?
It becomes like.
Just puffery. I mean, yeah. You know.
We're just, I don't know. Hosting ribbon cuttings or something.
I don't know. Or just saying, whatever. Okay, that's what he said.
Reporting live from this wonderful event with the leader.
Right, exactly. Yes, the new Trump monument, the 53rd Trump monument.
Which you can see is quite handsome.
Yes.
Like exactly. It's that, remember on 30 Rock when Avery Jessup was kidnapped and she was on that like Korean sanctioned television? She was like, today the leader won all of the Olympic gold medals, all of them. And the weather is great.
Everything is perfect.
And the leader is quite handsome. He has won all of the polls for the best looking man in the world. Over to you. Like, it's that.
That's what they want. I mean,
that's what Fox News is. It feels like that.
Yeah, that, and it has been for a bit. But that's, I mean, Steve Bannon has made very clear that he considers the media worthless in an opposition party. And Trump clearly cannot handle
opposition.
Yeah, he cannot handle anything coming from the media that's in any way critical, because he will. The best thing was, I think it was Sean Spicer actually cited Charles Krauthammer as like an example of something that Krauthammer had said as being a good thing and the kind of journalism we need to see. Whereas, like, what? 2 months ago, Trump had tweeted, "Dopey Charles Krautheimer, no credibility, blah, blah." So immediately, I mean, it was within minutes people had pulled that tweet up.
That's my favorite lately, when people are finding old tweets that say exactly the opposite.
It's ridiculous. Well, and the leaks, criticizing the leaks. I mean, during the campaign, he loved leaks.
No.
Yeah.
No,
WikiLeaks. He's like, "Oh, WikiLeaks is great. Look at what they're doing with the emails." But now he's like, "Leaks are bad." So come on, man.
The good news is that I'm really stretching out my eyeball muscles by rolling my eyes so much.
Exactly. You're going to be able to, like,
knock stuff
over with your eyes.
All the way around in my head. Like, you'll hear the marble go in like a roulette wheel. Yeah. It'll be good.
Yes. Except we're all going to die of face palming or something like that.
We really are. It's been daily. Yeah. I was thinking this. I took a picture. I'm going to put it on Instagram later. There's a little tiny, like, travel size bottle of Advil that I've had in my purse for about 7 years. And I just, you know, refill it with a couple of Advils here and there. Mm-hmm. So I always have one or two in case I get a headache. But I don't take a lot of Advil. I usually just go, "Oh, my head's starting to hurt. I'm sitting weird. I need to sit up straight," or whatever. Mm. I usually just go with it. Or, "Oh, I didn't have caffeine. I better go get a little bit of tea," or something. I have gone through that bottle and refilled it 4 times since January the 20th. I'm not exaggerating that at all. I keep refilling that damn bottle because every day, last night I even tweeted this, like, if this is my last tweet, you guys, because I had the entire right side of my brain felt like it was brain freeze. Oof, and I could see this, like, purple aura, and it was all bad. And it was, I mean, I get migraines once in a while, but my head hurt so bad. I was even like, "Guys, okay, if this is my last tweet, please do me the favor. I hate when people say passed away. Please use dead and dead and died in my obit. Don't say passed away. I really hate that."
Shuffled off this mortal coil.
Right. Right. "Guth has passed." No! I'll be so mad if anyone tweets that when I'm dead.
Speaking of self-care.
Sure.
That is a thing now. Yeah. And I'll tell you, last weekend, I took Saturday, and I did not look at any news. At all.
How'd you feel?
I felt a million times better. I mean, honestly, I really did feel like my blood pressure went down, and I felt more calm. I was still distracted at several times.
You sound super Chicago-y when you said calm.
Am I getting a Chicago?
Calm.
That's weird. I can't be getting a Chicago. I guess I can be. I don't know.
You can. It happens.
I grew up in Florida, for God's sake. I should sound like, you know, actually, Florida doesn't really have any accents because it's such a mix of people, but.
Well, the more north you go in Florida, the southerner it gets.
Right, yeah, when you get to, like, in the panhandle and stuff like that. But I was just down, like, in the swamp, so.
Just a mix where of, you belong, Hupke.
Yeah, exactly. Until my swamp was drained.
Well, we were talking about, like, Spicer and Conway and how, like, how could they possibly be holding up? They've got, of course they're coming undone. They don't have a moment to sit down and just, like, I think they're both ridiculous spin artists that are furthering a culture of lies from this administration. However, I feel some degree of sympathy for them as just a human being. Like, those two are going to lose their minds.
Yeah. Give them credit for their endurance anyway.
Right. Whatever Gatorade you're drinking is working out for you.
Or whatever 37 sticks of gum you're eating, that's really working out.
Oh, God, that moment, Melissa McCarthy.
With a giant piece of gum.
That was excellent.
It really was.
That is a weird quirk that he even admitted that. Why would you give people fodder like that to make fun of you?
I can't.
Did he think we were going to be like, "That's funny and quirky. I like the guy. He's human." No.
That's one of those things, too, that just never leaves you. Because every once in a while, that'll pop back into my head.
He's going to be the gum guy forever. Right,
and I'll just start thinking about how. Or I'll be chewing a piece of gum, and I'm like,
"How does he do
how
that?
How can you do that? I can't even swallow this one piece. I couldn't. That's weird, man."
I know. That's super gross.
The mysteries of Spicy's colon. Anyway.
Not a good band name.
Yeah.
At all. Maybe an album, but probably not a band. But yes, back to self-care. So last weekend, I was working on a side project, and I was in Vegas doing so. And it is very difficult psychologically to be in touch with the outside world I was, like, working on a set that was in a casino.
It's almost like they want you to stay there and spend money.
Stay there and spend money.
So
I know.
Weird.
Super weird. But, you know, because you don't see a clock and you don't see windows, you have no sense of time passing, and suddenly you're like, "I'm going to take a lunch break." Oh, it's 8 p.m. Okay, that's fine.
It's 8 p.m. and it's the next day.
And it's 4 days later. Totally kept happening. But I felt, I did feel different not having to pay attention to politics for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because I was so focused on, you know, the set and the project and the task at hand. But I had major dread as soon as I got back.
Yeah.
Because I was like, holy shit, I am super behind.
I can't imagine what has happened.
I mean, I kept looking at my phone and I was like looking at tweets. I mean, I looked at your Twitter a lot going like, what the hell? What? And I was like looking at New York Times like, what's happening right now? Because I kept joking on the set. I was like, every time I click on Twitter on my phone, some new carnival has arrived in town and it's gotten weirder. And so I was actually quite relaxed on the plane coming back. It's like 4-hour plane ride. So I was, you know, 3.5, whatever. And I was very relaxed and chill. And I was like having time to contemplate, which I have not done. It's just been like fire to fire. I think we've all been in that mode.
Yeah.
And then I got on the ground and was on my way to my apartment. And that's when it hit me. I was just like, I started just like getting into, and I was like making notes of like, okay, look up this story, learn about this, get some backstory on this. And suddenly I like filled up a little stenopad page in the taxi and was like, oh shit, all the things just to catch up and stay on it. So there was a sense that I had like lost the, you know, lost because there's just so much right now.
Right.
They're throwing so much shit at us.
And I think they want... I think that was intentional to begin with.
I do too.
To confuse things. But now I think it's running amok on them a little bit.
I totally agree.
Because now they are they're getting into things they can't control.
Because they were like releasing things late on a Friday, which is always the tell.
Sure. Yeah.
If you want people to know about your shit, you release it on Monday. If you don't want people to know about your shit, you release it late on a Friday and you bury it.
Exactly.
Classic 101 PR shit there.
Yeah.
And they kept releasing things late on a Friday or over the weekend. And so it would be like a little soft landing. And nope. Now things are just coming out on their own. They're emerging faster than they can keep up with them. It's spinning out of their control. And again, what we're seeing is the most sanitized version possible.
Exactly. Which you just can't. God, to be in the room in a couple of
days. Oh, to be a mouse in the corner in the White House right now.
I would just love to hear what's going on.
I know.
You know, and some of this too is, I mean, he's used to not only running a business, but running his privately owned business that he can do whatever he wants with.
Right.
So I think a lot of this too, and I'm not suggesting that he be given a learning curve at all because he's just clearly so far over his head. But a lot of this too is just him being like, do this. And then they're like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, what? And like, it just doesn't resonate. And that's creating chaos on its own.
I've been thinking about that because if you, you know, most people in politics have a JD and have some knowledge of the fucking law.
Right.
Because of said JD. Yes. Right. Most of them passed the bar.
Or at least a basic understanding of civics.
Or maybe an undergraduate degree in poli-sci. Or maybe even got a passing grade in a civics class.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Bingo.
And so you go into, I feel like if you aspire to that office, you have some thirst for knowledge of the law and the Constitution and the legal process and all of its regulations. And I think anyone, even if you are a very high-ranking government official, I think moving into the White House where you are then the top dog, there's a minute where you probably, I need a special phone now. I need this. I have handler. People carry my shit for me. Okay, there's probably just a couple adjustments to make. But no, you don't get a break because the dude sitting with you in the dining room at Mar-a-Lago has the fucking new codes.
Right.
You don't get a break.
The guy over there posing with the other dude who's putting it on Facebook, you mean?
Yes, that guy. You shall know him from the briefcase and the selfies.
Yeah. In that guy's defense, I did read from several people in like security circles who have worked in intelligence circles and stuff that actually is not unheard of for the guy with the brief, you know, because he's always around the president and stuff like that. That is not completely unheard of that he would be, you know, approached by a person at a thing or whatever. So in that guy's defense, I don't think he was necessarily doing something that was out of bounds. But I do think sitting at the table with like a wedding party nearby and talking to the prime minister of Japan about what's going on in North Korea, that seems a little quirky.
Maybe that's stretching it a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not like leaks doesn't even seem like the right word because it's not really a leak if you're not trying to hide a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm standing in my front yard screaming and my neighbor takes a video and puts it on Facebook, I don't feel like it's been an invasion of my privacy because I was out in the front yard screaming.
Yes, you should not have been doing that. Shame on you.
some days are tougher than others.
Yes, exactly.
I'm doing my
best.
That
was when the Advil ran out, apparently.
I'm doing my best here.
She was trying to chew the lid off an Advil bottle.
She
don't know what
couldn't
was
get it open. So what do you think will be, if you had to look in your crystal ball for the week ahead?
My entirely unreliable crystal ball.
Right, that we, yeah, that we've both like fucked up left and right since I don't know, July? When did we start doing this? July?
Yeah, something like that.
When we were like, everything's fine.
Yes, don't worry. This too shall pass.
Oh, we were so innocent then.
I know. It was crazy. What do I think is going to happen?
Yeah, what do you think? This time next week, what do we think we will see?
I don't think offhand, you know, people, there was like a hashtag Trump impeachment party trending and stuff. Things are not going to move that quickly. This is not going to get, everybody is, I think, over, I think this is really bad. Everybody's also overreacting to it pretty dramatically. I do not see this administration falling between now and next week by any stretch.
No.
I think they will find ways to mitigate this. I think they'll have some success spinning this absurdly into, you know, we have
Agreed.
To stop these leaks, it's the media's fault, yada, yada, yada. But I think that things will be developing. I think that we're going to start to see how much of a spine people in Congress have, because they have to do something about this. This has to be investigated. And so I think we're going to get a little bit of an indication about what to expect there. And once that happens, then there's two ways that the administration can go. One is, okay, we'll play, you know, yeah, we get it. This has to be done. Go for it.
Probably no.
Probably not. Yeah,
no.
The other is screw you. So now they're blaming the fake media. They're blaming the, quote, intelligence community. They're blaming Congress, and they're blaming the leakers.
Sure, sure.
And then they're isolated. And then I think that's a real dramatic turn, I think, for what they are attempting to do. So I don't know if that exactly answers the question, but I think that by next week there will be a little bit clearer picture about where this is heading. I don't think that there's going to be any kind of like massive, you know, he's not going to step down. There's
no,
not going to be.
No, no,
I don't even know if another body is going to fall, so to speak, in the administration over this right away. But we'll see. You know, one of the things that I think is really fascinating here that I don't fully understand this, but the idea of the kind of the government behind the government, and especially in the intelligence community, the people that are, you know, you don't turn everybody over when there's a new administration,
right,
especially
right.
in the intelligence community. So there's the idea that you have a lot of people there who have the best interests of the country at heart, and also are the ones that know where all the bodies are
What's
buried.
What's actually
basically.
Going on? Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a belief that they may be trying to slowly pick this off and say, okay.
The people that have been there for a long time?
Right. The people in the intelligence community are saying, okay, Flynn's the most dangerous because he's an absolute nut job. And he is an absolute nut job, that guy. I mean, thank God he's gone. So they knock him out. And now what do? Maybe they wait around to see what the administration does, if it course corrects at all. Or maybe they say, okay, Bannon. And then they release some stuff one way or the other. And that's where you get into a legitimate argument, I guess, over whether that's good or not, this idea of sort of a background government almost that's swinging and calling the shots in certain, or that's controlling what's happening. Part of me thinks that might be not such a bad thing, because you need...
part of you hopes.
Well, yeah, as long as they are not hideously corrupted. That's, you know what I mean? If they actually have the best interest of the country at heart, then good.
Well, interesting that you say Bannon, because my prediction, I agree with everything you just said. I do think that we're just going to have more reveal. I do think that there's another piece of this whole Russian interacting, Russian officials thing. I think there's another piece of it. It seems like it's incomplete.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously it's incomplete, but I feel like there's another kind of a holy shit, kind of a bigger shoe. Not a bigger shoe, but another of equal or similar size shoe that will drop with it.
That makes sense.
Soon. Mm-hmm. I also think, because Bannon has been relatively quiet for the last couple of weeks, and yet it seems like the white nationalist threads have been a little bit noisier than lately, I do think something's cooking there. I just knew Spidey sense there. I have nothing to base that on other than like something looks weird with this. I think something is coming out of Bannon's mouth soon that is going to be so fucked up, like unbelievably horrifying. I'm not into saying alt-right. I'm not going to say alt-right. I'm going to call him a Nazi. Mm-hmm. I would call him a Nazi to his face. He is a Nazi. The end. Thanks. Bye. I think alt-right is kind of
softens.
Yeah, it is. It's softening. It just it sounds like
Nazi light.
Right. Diet Nazi.
Yes, diet Nazi.
Zero calorie.
Right. Nazi zero.
Nazi zero. Terrible. Terrible. Did you see those awful Valentines? They were like
the
Hitler theme from Michigan.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ, man. Get those.
Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Be done. Be done.
They're like, it wasn't Ola. I'm like, I don't care. Get out of there.
What was it like? What did it say? Something like, my love burns for you like 6 million Jews or something. Like, yeah, get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
And that's what I say. I mean, honestly, like, you know, take your snowflake blah, blah crap and hit the, you know.
I'm all done with the word snowflake,
tell,
too.
Tell your story walking, buddy. Cause,
yeah. You know. Don't let the door hit you. We're done here. Yeah. We're not going to do that. Going to do that. And I'm not, I have a friend that was talking about, I saw him interacting with another friend on Twitter, trying to say that not everybody in the alt-right movement or attached to alt-right was necessarily a racist or involved in white supremacy. And I'm going to have to disagree.
Don't care.
So I had a second conversation with his friend. I was like, no, I don't agree with you. I mean, this friend is very conservative. And so we talk about politics when like all the time because it's interesting to have another point of view and we
right.
kick things around. And about many things we agree, not because I am a conservative sympathizer, but on like fundamental philosophical things, in some ways we agree. I wouldn't say many things, but some things
yeah,
we agree.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
About like human shit.
Right.
I think this friend has probably more radical left in him in some ways than he wants to admit also. But nonetheless, so we were talking about this and I know it's identifying a specific group and normally I want to call a group whatever the group wants to be called. Normally. Of any group. But when it's a hate group or a terror organization, go fuck yourself. I'm going to call you whatever I want to call you.
Yes. We're going to call you pig snot.
Whatever.
You like that? Yeah.
Well, it's the same like with like my friend and colleague Zeba Khan wrote a beautiful piece on Boston Globe about why it's important not to say ISIS or ISIL.
Yeah.
Say Daesh and why it's important to do that, which I totally agree. And I think this applies here. I think like extremist groups I don't give a shit about their comfort at all.
Right.
And it's not up to them to tell me what they get to be called.
And according to the way they talk, nobody should give a shit about anybody's comfort. So it's funny to me when they are...
insist on being called
alt-right.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, hey, man, no. It's like, wait a minute. You're the ones that are...
Right. On. Interesting. I'm glad you said that. Interesting. I saw... Because I do look at opposition Twitter and I look at opposition websites all the time because I just want to see what the fuck's going on out there. And I saw somebody who identifies as alt-right saying this was like... No, we're a movement. We're this. Like, we demand to be called that. And this other person on social media, or several people, were saying, "No, you're a Nazi," and that was their argument. And I was kind of looking through the thread of this conversation, and earlier, wait, like hours earlier in this conversation, this person had said something about, like, originally had gotten into it with somebody because they were talking about someone's Twitter bio said at the end of it said, you know, she, her, meaning use female pronouns with me.
Right.
And they were like ragging on them about that. And it was really, I think some people jumped in saying, hey, who gives a shit? What is it to you? If that makes her comfortable having she and her pronouns, use them. Who gives a shit? It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't cost you anything. And it was funny how the conversation a few hours later was all about like, no, damn it. You're going to call me all right. I don't want to be called a Hitler youth. I want to be called all right. Nah. It was just like,
yeah.
What are you doing? I'm not saying like pronouns and hate groups are the same thing
no, I know,
at all.
No, you're right, though. It's just this whole idea of like, you know, haha, look at those sensitive, whiny little liberals. And it's like, oh, don't call me that.
Right. And so,
shut up.
So Bannon, comma, the Nazi, comma, I predict something's coming from that guy. I think something is happening with, I don't know what. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, blow up a car or anything. I think he's going to make a statement, a brazen statement about some shit that is going to land in a real fucked up way.
Well, I also feel, with all the leaks that are coming out of the White House, I also feel like somebody's going to hit record at some point and pick up some stuff and then be like, okay, here you go.
Yeah, here's this.
I don't get the
fake media my ass. Right.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that him or Trump or any of those
mince words, particularly.
Right, exactly. Right. I don't think they sit around and are very politically correct. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all about that. And you're right, especially from him, because he is the... I think he's a very messed up person. And his worldview is bizarre and scary.
The thing about the forthcoming of, you know, the thing he was talking about with the waves of... Have you read this shit?
Yeah, he's an Islamophobic to the nth degree.
But it's weirder than that.
Right, but it goes beyond. It gets very...
I think he probably fancies himself like a biblical prophet.
Yes, exactly. Right. Like, it gets like,
because he's talking about these like four waves, these like four cornerstones of renewal and reawakening in the human cycles, and that we're at the beginning of the, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like you're putting down some pavement for some ethnic cleansing, motherfucker. And that's no.
You know what? Hug your boys. That's what I say. They go crazy if you don't. There's that dude was not hugged enough
right.
as a child. Right. I don't know what that, and Trump wasn't either. Yeah. Hug your damn boys because they go fucking crazy. Right. If you don't, man.
Try not to screw up your kids.
I don't know what it is.
So, you know what? A couple of years ago, I was road tripping through Alabama, and not far outside of Birmingham, Alabama, is a town called Bessemer that used to be an interesting like vice district because a lot of trains went through there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There was like a lot of people doing stuff. But there's a train depot there that has become a history museum. And in it is Hitler's typewriter from Eagle's Nest. And it's encased in glass. I didn't know that when I stopped. But the guy, the curator, just hangs out there all day. He's a really nice man, and he's a World War II veteran, and he's really interesting. But like the guy that, one of the guys that liberated Eagle's Nest was from Bessemer, and he just like tucked it under his arm and left and had it in his basement all these years. It's like trophy. And then was like, oh yeah, I got that from Hitler. That's his word against, you know, the typewriters, but nonetheless, there it is. And so I said to the guy, like when I first walked in, I was looking around and I said, you know, I've heard, is Hitler's typewriter here? He goes, oh yeah, it's in the back. And I said, am I allowed to type anything on it? And he said, well, no, it's in glass. We have it encased. But everyone comes in and asks that. And I assume you'd want to say a naughty word. I said, no, I don't. I think that'd be easy. Anyone could, you know, type, go fuck yourself on Hitler's typewriter. I think I would type, and I thought of it. I said, let me get back to you. Let me think about what I'd say. And so finally I came up with it, and I said, okay, here's what I would type to Hitler's typewriter, as if somehow doing so would, like, convey it to Hitler, right? But I decided I would type, I'm sorry that you didn't get into art school.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on, because that's pretty much what sent everything going kablooey.
Had he had an outlet and had confidence in his creative outlet, and done what he wanted with his life, perhaps he would not have been such a miserable psychopath.
Yeah.
Not that like creating art will undo genocidal tendencies, but it couldn't hurt, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's pretty well documented too, that was what...
Anytime you repress anything.
Right, and that's what set him off too, against like, you know, Jews and elitists and like the intellectuals and that sort of thing.
So that's what I would type on that's Hitler's typewriter if I had the chance in Bessemer, Alabama. I'm sorry that you did not get into art school.
Yeah, I like that. That would work.
Also, go fuck yourself.
P.S. You lost.
Right.
Dick bag.
Also, eat a bag of dicks.
Dear Hitler.
That would be a funny, like, that guy should start a Tumblr blog or something where people could take a selfie with the typewriter and post what they would type otherwise.
Yeah, my messages to Hitler.
Messages to Hitler.
Sounds like the worst coffee table book ever.
I'm sure Bannon, with foreword by Bannon and Richard Spencer.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's my prediction. I think we're going to see another large piece of the Russia story come out. I think that I don't know that we're going to see any spying from anyone, any GOP members yet. We will, but not yet.
Yeah. It's got to get to.
I see a bold Nazi move coming, and I think another stab at reproductive rights.
Oh, yeah, that's coming no matter what.
I know.
I mean, Trump could be out tomorrow and Pence could zip in, or even Pence could be out and Paul Ryan zips in, whatever. It's coming. I mean, that's absolutely coming.
And the speed of the executive order around the immigration and refugee ban, like that happens so fast. That's the thing that makes me want to go get seven IUDs right now. Because That, I mean, some shit could just be signed. Like, I mean,
I'm honestly surprised you haven't gotten the IUDs yet.
I know, because it's been on my to-do list like since the election.
I'd think you'd have like an Amazon order ready to just click the
a DIY like,
a one click, bink. Your phone dings. Your 18 IUDs have been shipped.
DIY. IUD insertion? Oh my God, that sounds horrible. That sounds like some shit that will get botched real bad. I know. I'm kind of disappointed in myself too because I'm like, I put that shit on my to-do list like November the 9th. Get it done, Guth. Get it done.
Yeah, things ain't going. They ain't going in the right direction.
Been a little busy.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But for reals, I mean, I worry about shit like that.
Yeah, and with good reason. I mean, no matter what happens with all of this, I mean, the Republicans are in control, and they have they're going to do something with Obamacare, although I think they're starting to realize that that may not happen exactly the way they want, which, yay. They're going to go after women's rights. They're going to try very hard. And I think one of the scariest things also is voting rights. They're going to go after that like crazy. And, you know, I'm sure they're – oh, the EPA. Well, did you see the bill? The bill they introduced today to get rid of the EPA?
Yes.
It's one line. It's like, we're getting rid of the EPA. It's just a bill. It's just literally one sentence. There's no like, because we feel that, blah, blah. It's just like, we are getting rid of the EPA.
Blah. I know.
Fart, you know, poop emoji or something. It's just bastards.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
We should get my brother as a guest on this show.
Seriously,
who,
yeah.
In fact, is quite, who will be immensely impacted by the going away of the EPA because he's a scientist and he works in this field and he works in geology and climate.
Right. Yeah.
So that's
a whole other can of worms.
The siblings Guth really represent the opposite of the Trump administration pretty well.
Yeah. I would say you guys have the bases.
We got it covered.
Pretty well covered.
We got the media thing covered. Yeah. We got the climate and science shit covered. My sister-in-law or whatever, his woman. She's from Mexico.
Oh,
like, you know, we got it all covered out.
You're all over the
Jewish. Place. Like, let's keep going here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're all good. Yeah. We're all good. Ah, good times. So we're probably boring people because we've been running for a while, but we've got to sign off. But you have a thing you want to say.
Yeah, I wanted to end on a positive note, if I may.
Weird,
right? Yeah. I received an email this week.
Oh, yes.
From a really...
It was lovely.
Oh, you saw it. Okay,
good. I did.
Yeah. And I wanted to repeat this because I think this has great value to everybody who is right now deciding what they are doing in terms of resisting things, in terms of making calls, in terms of giving a crap about all the things that are happening and sometimes getting exhausted by it and having to make decisions about whether to keep going or not. So I wrote a column that basically was explaining in part why I'm writing so many columns about Trump and why I feel like, because I'm fortunate enough to have a voice and a platform, I want to use it. Because if you don't use it when it matters most, what's the point? Anyway, so I got this response from someone who liked that column. And she said, remember what Winnie the Pooh said. This is a quote. Sometimes when the fights begin, I think I'll let the dragons win. But then again, I think I won't. Because they're dragons. And I don't. And then she said, thanks. Keep fighting the dragons.
That's lovely.
It was, and it made me so happy, and it was one of the nicest emails I've ever gotten.
And Isaiah, and you get a lot of emails.
I do get the electronic mail,
and that's got to be a good standout, not just because you get so many douchey ones.
Yeah, although I will say, and again, to also pep everybody up, the response to that column, I have never gotten that much email on anything I've ever written in my life, and it was 98% positive.
Really?
People saying, and this is to the, you know, to basically I think they're speaking to the media and saying, please keep going. Please do not let up. Please keep on this.
That's
and
cool.
So not just for me. I don't say that just for me. I mean, I say it for anybody out there. And I don't think it's just the media. I think that goes out to people who are making phone calls, to people who are doing things and organizing and doing all that stuff.
I've seen a lot of organizers starting to have this conversation of like,
running for office,
how do I
maybe.
Do this. Yeah. I've seen particularly a lot of women that are like, okay, I'm starting to have to, like one of them, she said her child pointed out, like, Mama, you look tired. She's like, I am, baby.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
Right. Yeah. But everybody, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep fighting the dragons.
Keep fighting the dragons. I like that.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
Good stuff. All right. Well, you've heard our predictions. We've said all the things. It all felt like fake news, even though it's not, because it's just so darn weird. So this is Amy Guth and Rex Hupke signing off on another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. And we will see you back here next week, unless the nukes get us before then.
I ended on a positive note.